Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Live show sometimes is a technical challenge, but we're out in Australia today. But welcome to the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. We've got a great doubleheader, Jackson Tisdell, a sports podiatrist from Australia with Foster Turngurry Sports Podiatry. He returns. And then Dr. Nick Despotidis, New Jersey pediatric optometrist. He's the author of A Parent's Guide to Raising Children with Healthy Vision. And then it's me with the sports doctor. But let's buzz out there to Australia. Let's welcome back Jackson Tisdell. How you doing, man?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for having me back on.
Great to have you. Give us a quickie background. Jackson, of course, like I said, is an Australian sports podiatrist. He's working closely with this Kinetic Therapies Continued Professional Education Group. And he's a coach with the Academy of Sports Speed, Australia. So after bragging about him, give us a little bit of background, Jackson.
Yeah, no worries. So I work obviously in clinical podiatry in a sports podiatry clinic. And I do some coaching with the Academy of Sports Speed Australia, which is like an athletic development academy for young kids. So teaching them strength and conditioning and running technique and speed and agility. For young kids as young as 9 years old. And then I also do some continued professional development stuff with Kinetic Therapies, which is a company that we're doing some workshops for other health professionals next year in 2020, just some education stuff. So, yeah, pretty busy at the moment.
Yes, now it sounds like it. Of course, Jackson, he's an educator. He works with different groups, like he was saying. He really gives back. He's only been out a couple of years. What's the difference, if any? Are you a doctor in Australia? What are some of the differences in podiatry? Do you guys do surgery?
No, for Australia, podiatrists don't do surgery. That's a specialist field. So we're not. We are considered doctors. We can use the term doctor, but we don't. We're not medical doctors, if that makes sense. We're more allied health professionals.
Yes. Now, you're, of course, up my alley for all of these years on the sports, Dr. Jackson. As you know, I'm a sports podiatrist. 90% of what I've done over the decades is orthotic therapy. Two big deals to me. One is orthotic alignment, and two is strengthen those feet and ankles and work stability and balance. And I see you're in the middle of that. Now, you were an athlete yourself, right? In school, you had some lower extremity injuries. You decided maybe to pay attention to some of the causes and remedies.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I got into podiatry. I think it's a pretty common way that podiatrists get into the profession is they are involved in sport and love sport and human movement. And I had a few injuries. I had medial tibial stress syndrome. I had some hamstring strains, and that sort of really halted my
Were you
career.
In orthotics, Jackson? Were you in orthotics as an athlete?
No, not at the time. No, but I did get into some to help with my medial tibial stress syndrome, and
absolutely,
and they did help. Yeah, they did help.
Shin splints. Yes. I really believe that any persistent lower extremity problem. Feet, ankles, knees, hips, or back. If it's persistent, if it's ongoing, it's foot-related. And we can help them with proper alignment, get that foundation optimum-wise in the situation of proper, quote-unquote, orthotics. Everybody listening to the sports doctor, we were a touch late. But, hey, man, we're out in Australia. We're talking with Jackson Tisdell. Young sports podiatrist hotshot out that neck of the world. He's been on before. He's got some great information. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go over to radio shows. You can go back over 10 years. You can see who was on, what were the topics. Endless array of experts and topics in so many areas. You can listen to whatever you'd like. You can go over to newspaper articles and magazines. You can read about all the stuff I'm writing, have written for Lower Extremity Review, my latest sponsor on The Sports Doctor. And you can read on an endless array of topics, from whether your son or daughter should specialize, choosing their best shoe. And we talk a lot of concussions on The Sports Doctor and dealing with that whole challenge. Again, we have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get on Twitter. LinkedIn also. I think that's where I met Dr. Jackson was on LinkedIn. And so you could follow us at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. And tell us about your perspective. When you're screening, some of you working with these young athletes, different teams, et cetera, what are you looking for when you're working with these kids?
I'm looking for any potential areas of weakness or injury risk. So I look at them run, I look at them walk, I look for any sort of imbalances between muscle structures and restrictions in certain areas, such as the hips or hamstrings, or I also look at their motor pattern. So I look at them squat and deadlift and do all these movements and see just how they can move their body compared to other sporting kids their age. So I'm looking for anything just that's a little bit out of the normal or a bit deficient. To try and reduce the risk
as
much as possible. Yeah.
One of my favorite tests. I remember my famous mentor, Bob Guida, who rehabilitated and high performance athletes back in the late 70s when sports didn't know how to spell the word performance. And he would make such a big deal out of looking at somebody squatting on one foot and looking at that foot-knee alignment and stability. And he'd say, how can you run and jump if you can't even balance properly? Which is why we paid so much attention to balance and stability. What's the best website, Jackson, for people can find out about your Academy of Sports Speed and your therapies? What's the best website for information on what you're doing?
So I'd follow on Facebook, I'd follow Kinetic Therapies AU. So that's Kinetic Therapies Australia. So you can give us a search on Facebook. And then the Academy of Sports Speed Australia is also on Facebook, shortened to ASA. So the abbreviation is ASA, which is our academy out here in Australia. So you can find both those things on Facebook, and there's websites as well. But Kinetic Therapies AU. Yeah.
Now, again, forever, I've loved rubber bands, Jackson, to work. You could have the best athlete in the world, and I can challenge the heck out of him with rubber band resistance, especially those feet and ankles, you know, and I've been yelling about it for a long time. I don't care if you have no history of injury. If you want to work on quickness, explosiveness, and speed, you want to include strengthening your feet and ankles. What are some of the exercises you like when you're dealing with the strengthening side of things?
Oh, there's an endless range of exercises you can give someone. The probably the most basic ones that people can do on their own at home are, you know, your calf raises, glute bridges. I do a lot of intrinsic foot muscle strengthening, so your toe waves and your foot scrunches and those sorts of things. There's so many you could do that you can't really describe.
One of the units I wanted to send you guys, I think I told you about it, was the Sand Dune Stepper, which is this tremendous piece of equipment which simulates standing on the beach and you working all of those areas. But I'm a very, very big balance guy also, like I mentioned to you when we had you on. I mentioned in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. As a matter of fact, one of the chapters is called The Two Essential Exercises, and those two essential exercises are rubber band, foot and ankle strengthening, not the only thing, but to include it, and work balance. Get these kids on unstable surfaces and play catch with them and check that alignment and stability. I know you talked about that. And now when you're talking again about the kinetic therapies, all that motion, weight bearing. You guys pay, I'm sure, a lot of attention. What are the important things about shoes that you pay attention to, Jackson?
Yeah, for shoes, and especially for young kids, they need a good school shoe. They need a good runner to make sure their football boots are good as well. So really supportive. You want them to be comfortable, but also nice and firm to support their foot. So really important that they're not in something that's just super flexible and not really going to give them too much support. You've got to be careful. Some of the bigger brands of shoes, you know, are the ones that the kids love to go for because of the fashion and the brand and that sort of thing, but they're not actually the best shoes for their feet.
Oh,
so
yeah, man.
Look,
hey,
right amount of
gotta
support.
Got to get your Michael Jordans, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's
yeah.
interesting. Here in the United States, and I've spoken about it numerous times, over 50 to 60% of our population, athletic or not, are not properly fitted. If that's even close, and I make a big deal out of this for the athletes, number one, wear the shoe that's designed for your sport, and, you know, to then make sure you fit properly. Do you have the same concern at athletes of different ages that they're not fit properly? I find it's amazingly simple, but it's still a big deal.
Yeah. No, you'd be very surprised how many, not just athletes, but everyone that comes in and they're wearing shoes that are either too small or too big can be problematic as well. So I actually have a measuring device in the clinic here, and they come and I get the right size for them, and then I get them, when they go to the shoe store, I make sure that I show them things to look for and make sure that they're getting fitted properly, because, yeah, it's really important.
Yeah, tell us a little bit before we run out of time about the Academy of Sports Speed Australia.
Yeah, so we're based in Sydney, but we branch out around. We're in Adelaide and Foster as well in Australia, and we have young kids come through, and we teach them strength and conditioning and running technique, speed and agility on the field. So not just for track athletes, but for footballers, soccer players, netballers. We teach them proper foot patterning and running technique, and getting them nice and fast and strong so they can get to the ball first. that's our motto. Speed is the king.
Yes. Here's the key pearl for you today, from one side of the world in podiatry to the other. Again, you enhance performance from A to Z with proper orthotic alignment. I don't care what the sport is. So a lot of times we're looking to add that to the mix, especially in your young females, where we still see 5-6-1 ACL injuries, girls to boys. Non-traumatic,
yes.
And a lot of it is mechanics. And here we literally, the feet don't hurt, it's ignored. So you could tell them the sports doctor sent you when you're talking about enhancing performance. I've never had a coach tell me, you know, the orthotics loused them up. You know, you made them slower. And I think it's something that the rest of the sports world has to really, of course, I'm prejudiced. Before I also ask individuals like yourself, Jackson, before we run out of time, how's your sports psychology skills when you're working with these kids, coaches, parents? How you doing with that side of it?
Yeah, you've got to wear, when you're a podiatrist or a coach, you got to wear many hats. you've often got to be a bit of a psychologist as well. So you've got to make sure you ask the athlete how they're feeling and what their thoughts are and everything, so you can work with them. And you can't just push your ideas onto the athlete. You've got to make sure you're working with them and in their state of mind. And it's an interesting topic, but
overuse is a big problem here. Overuse, that's why I wrote the book. Epidemic of youth overuse injuries is what we're dealing with because of pressures and schedules and overkill. And that's why I really commend educational organizations like yourself, even on the other side of the world, where you're really into prevention and you're into being, you know, pre-hab and get involved, whatever the sports are, like you're talking about, dealing with one sport or another. And I'm sure you have your share of recreational individuals who just want to be able to stay healthy and do their walking program, play golf or hit tennis balls or whatever, right?
Yeah, they're often the most rewarding clients that we get. It's just the weekend warriors, the ones that you want to make sure they can stay healthy and go for their walk and play golf. That's what it's all about. I think not necessarily working with athletes. The athletes are often set in their ways and they're harder to crack with their psychology. But we see a range of different sports and different age groups in our clinic. So that's what I enjoy about it. So plenty of variety.
Yes, and what are the specialists are involved in your organizations besides podiatry, Jackson?
So in the clinic I work in, we've got osteopaths, we've got massage therapists, we have a psychologist, and with the Academy of Sport Speed Australia, we've got strength and conditioning coaches, track coaches. So there's a whole different range of expertise, and I'm the podiatrist. So it's good to draw upon different people's experience.
It's great to have that kind of, it's what I write about all the time in the excellent publication. My latest sponsor is Lower Extremity Review, which caters to all the different specialties with attention to the lower extremity. Something you ought to LER magazine, where they're paying big attention to the teamwork that goes into the world of athletics, whether it's a professional team, whether it is youth sports. And again, youth sports is becoming a bigger and bigger challenge because of the fact of so much pressure to play. In the United States, you know, you don't have TV advertising of drugs every 5 minutes like we do here. We're crazy. And one of the biggest problems in youth sports is the reliance of over-the-counter pain medicines. And, of course, we're all familiar with the actual pain pill opioid nightmare the United States has. And a lot of it has caused me, Jackson, before we run out of time again, I have renamed performance-enhancing drugs. And you want to know what that renaming is?
What's that?
Performance surviving. The pressure to play hurt. Yes. And there are cheaters. Yep. There's always been cheaters. But the vast majority of the overuse of drugs in sports is really, really related to I'm hurting. I've got to play tomorrow. My kid's playing. Don't you understand the scholarship's on the line? And this is a very, very big deal. And that's why one of the things we're very excited about is the world of CBD, the non-THC hemp oils being very, very safe and being non-addictive and not having the getting high side. As more and more of the natural substances, we feature a lot of holistic medicine on the sports doctor. So you don't have TV advertising of drugs, right?
No, I can't say. It's big in that side of things as what you've just described. But definitely, I think there's a definite problem of pressure in kids. And they're doing too much. So, like, it's great that they're doing so much sport, but there's just comes a point where their young bodies need to rest and they need to do some recovery work. So,
I think that's a big word. That's a big word. I have a term, Jackson, I call it intelligent rest. And, you know, we could talk about that for an hour, but that's a very, very big deal. When you're dealing with serious athletes at all ages like you are, then again, the art of recovery, the importance, proper sleep, proper rest. You know, I pay so much attention on the sports doctor also, Jackson, again, to the mental game. All aspects, whether it's the challenge of coming back from injury or whether it's the challenge of high competition. And, you know, that's why it's great to hear you have a psychologist on staff because you can definitely get a lot of their input. I'm also a very big fan of osteopathic medicine and massage therapy. You know, hands-on soft tissue I find is very, very helpful. And general medicine sometimes doesn't include that. You know, Jackson?
Yeah, for sure. Massage is good too. The athlete can get a feel of their body and know what areas are sore and just a bit of awareness. But, the biggest thing is just resting, recovery. Sleep is the number one thing. It's like taking your body to the repair shop, like taking your car into the mechanic, you know, like that's what sleeping does, helps to recover everything. And that's where all your adaptations of your training occur as well. So that's where your body rests and gets stronger, ready for the next thing that you're going to do. So sleep, number one.
Yes. I'm sure you pay big attention to nutrition also, you know, and yep. as the podiatrist part of the team, you got to work on your vocals. You know, when you're singing the song, the foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the knee bone, you know, because many times, again, that's really, really where it's at. Going back to what I mentioned, the if there's a persistent lower extremity problem, then podiatry should be included in the evaluation. What's the general age variety and boys and girls that you deal with in your academies?
Probably from as young as sort of 9 years old, 9 to 10, and we start getting them into some proper training programs, so doing some basic body weight strength and conditioning work. And but while they're developing, their central nervous system is easily adaptable, so you can teach them a motor skill, so you can teach them to move or run properly, and they'll retain it and they'll learn it, rather than getting them in when they're older and they've already developed bad habits. So it's
yes.
good to
give
to
us
get
the website
early
one more time, Jackson. Thank you so much for joining me. Give us the website one more time.
Yeah, so you got Kinetic Therapies AU on Facebook, or ASA, Academy of Sports Meet Australia, .com. So there you go.
All right, thanks so much, man. Look for the show on Saturday, Jackson Tisdale. Australia sports podiatrist. Hold on a quick second, Jackson. Thanks so much. Hold on. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, An Essential Guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. We're back in action. We're in New Jersey. I'm going to welcome Dr. Nick Despotidis. He's a pediatric optometrist. He's the co-author with Dr. Noah Tannen of Parents' Guide to Raising Children with Healthy Vision. He's also authored a book, My Children Are Nearsighted. Hey, Dr. Nick, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Dr. Bob.
Great. Give us a little bit of quickie background, you know, the importance. I've had the protection of eyes on the show. We've talked a lot about it. I know you pay attention to children, you know, who are watching all these screens as they're growing up. Give us a little bit of background about what you're doing.
Yeah, I've been practicing optometry for 30 years. In the past 10 years, I started noticing I was prescribing glasses for children at a much younger age, specifically for nearsightedness, which means children can't see the board clearly. So I would prescribe glasses to help them see the board or watch TV. But I was doing it more and more often. And what the research has found is, like you alluded to, children are becoming nearsighted because they're spending too much time indoors, usually on a screen, an iPad, TV, computer, and especially the cell phone. And what scientists have found out is children need to play outside in order to preserve their eyesight. There's something about daylight that preserves children's eyesight.
Interesting point. When we're talking about whether the kid's neck hurts because there's a neck problem now in chiropractic because of people looking at their phones, or whether it happens to be behavioral crazy challenges with social media. And now we see that eyesight, even the idea of natural light compared to being inside so much, I think is kind of revolutionary in thinking. And then the idea, again, with all of these different screens. I know for years on the sports doctor, Dr. Nick, we've paid big attention to protection. You know, the kids are wearing the right goggles,
right,
or whatever, with all of these different sports. But the idea that there would be glasses so much earlier because of these kinds of findings over these past decade or so, has the world of optometry been paying attention?
They really have. As of recently, scientists have studied children, specifically the same ethnicity, the same genetics. Continually, the kids who play outdoors don't seem to need glasses as often as the children who play indoors. So I really feel the eyesight is a physical manifestation of a bigger problem, is these kids are indoors. They're not exercising, like you've alluded to several times. They're not moving, and they're not playing outside. And what happens?
Well, you could join our team. You could join our team. That I've been talking about childhood obesity, you know, for 25 years. You know, when you talk about glasses, when you talk about glasses very, very early, are glasses for young children being proactive, or are glasses as a rule always because there's something to be corrected?
You know, that was a great question. We used to think that by not wearing glasses, we were helping children's eyesight, especially for myopia, and that's false. When a child needs glasses, they feel right now, the experts, that wearing the glasses and not seeing blurry helps at least slow down the progression. But the bottom line is that once you start wearing glasses, you're likely to have the child's eyesight deteriorate as they get older. And then you have a whole host of retinal problems and other eye health problems the higher the degree of myopia.
So, you know, I've had a lot of you guys on. I've had a lot of you guys in the past in the world of optometry. I've had sports optometry on numerous times, Dr. Nick, talking again about all of the training about hand-eye coordination. That whole other world become such an exciting area in sports medicine. What are some of the things, you know, your parents' guide, raising children with healthy vision? So I guess being outside sounds like a big number one. What are some of the other things that you're looking to pay attention to in your book?
You know, I try to tell parents that not only do the children's eyesight go when they're inside looking at a phone, looking at an iPad, they become socially nearsighted. What I've found, and you may have seen it the same with your pediatric patients, they're really smart. They do well in school, much better than I did when I was younger. They get good test scores, but socially, there's something lacking. I think when children play outside, they gain a lot more than just eyesight. They gain social skills, how to speak to one another, how to fight reasonably, and how to get along with one another. So when their eyesight...
Oh, yeah, welcome to the world. Welcome to the new world of social media and all its challenges. And this is right smack in the middle of it. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor live from Chicago, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to radio shows, go back over 10 years, and see all the different experts, all the different topics. I have shows from 10 years before that. I think they're all on reel to reel. you know, you'd have to check it out. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read about a lot of the articles that I've written to take part in for lower extremity review, or information about orthotics. One of my most popular articles is Women and High Heels Accepting the Challenge. That's always a hot one. You can follow me on Twitter. We have over 30,000 followers. We have a lot of great sports medicine information on Twitter. I get a lot of guests from Twitter. At SportsDoc, D-O-C, radio, we're talking with pediatric optometrist Dr. Nick Despedidis, and he's out there in New Jersey talking about children's eye health. Again, starting with something that makes so much sense, I don't think it's gotten much attention, which is even the idea of natural light being so much better for these kids, let alone the challenge and the concern, like we're talking about, of the screen watching, which is going to be a phenomenon that we're going to have to deal with, you know, with each generation. Do you have any exercises on that side of things that kids and or adults benefit from besides corrective eyewear?
No. You know, exercises in general don't seem to do that other than just being a kid and playing outside. But you mentioned orthotics. What I became a quote-unquote expert in is this technique called orthokeratology. And like orthotics, I fit children with a contact lens that they sleep with at night. But it's not an ordinary contact lens. It has no prescription in it. So I fit the child, and what this contact lens does as they sleep with it, it gently reshapes the child's cornea as they sleep. And when they wake up, they remove the contact lens, and it corrects their nearsightedness, their myopia. So throughout the day, they don't wear glasses, and they seem to control their myopia from progressing. So in 2002, this was FDA approved, and we just thought it was another way to correct myopia. But what we have learned, it also helps slow down or preserve the eyesight from further deteriorating. And that's how I've evolved. You know, my kids developed nearsightedness, and I became...
Well, you make a good analogy. You know, when it's interesting whether we're talking alignment, you're talking positioning, you're talking precision. So whether it's the dentist talking about a mandibular device or the sports podiatrist talking about an orthotic device, now we got an optometrist talking with an ortho-ocular.
Ortho-K.
Is that what it's called?
Ortho-K or ortho-keratology.
Ortho-K. What's your website, Dr. Nick? What's the website for people to find out about you and your books, your information?
Sure. It's www.icareprofessionals.com. Icareprofessionals.com.
Yes, indeed. Okay. We're going to be back for our next segment. We'll talk a little bit more about all of these interesting topics with eyesight and protection and some of these newer innovations like you're talking about. We're talking pediatric optometrist Dr. Nick Despedidis. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are talking with pediatric optometrist from New Jersey, Dr. Nick Despotidis. He's the co-author of The Parent's Guide to Raising Children with Healthy Vision. Before we hit the break, we were talking about that corrective ocular piece that children have. How early can something like that be incorporated with children?
Yeah, we start as young as 5 years old. So my son was second grade. Started wearing them because he was developing nearsightedness. My other son started wearing them at 10. So it really depends on the maturity of the child, but they do everything by themselves. We first find out if they're a candidate. We do an evaluation just like you would. And if we feel the child is capable of it, we measure their cornea very accurately, and then we design a lens that as they sleep corrects their vision so they don't need to wear glasses during the day. It's the opposite of conventional contact lenses. It's counterintuitive. You put it in before you go to sleep, and then you take it out, and you wear it without any, you know, vision correction during the day.
Do you see any value of that, Dr. Nick, in the adult population in the future, having something corrective to do? Right now, what kind of age limit do you look at when you feel they're not indicated?
That's really good. No, it actually is FDA approved for adults and children. Children benefit from it twofold. They can see without glasses or ordinary contacts, but it also helps slow down their eyesight from further deteriorating. Adults can wear them, but as we get older, we also need help on the computer, and these are to correct nearsightedness. In other words, the inability to see far away. But many adults wear them. Athletes wear them because they enjoy.
I would think that would be an interesting weapon to add, where if the athlete felt that, you know, I'm doing something to slow down any deterioration, I'm also doing the best I can to me to have the best of eye coordination, hand-eye coordination, because I'm sleeping, you know, with these types of devices. That would be interesting to see in that regard. How has the pediatric community embellished, or rather got interested in the work that you're doing?
It really is growing right now. When I wrote my first book 10 years ago, it was really just a niche market. Now all doctors are aware of this myopia epidemic. I remember you referred to it as an obesity epidemic 10 years ago when I read your blogs. But now they're calling this a visual myopia epidemic. They predict half the world will need eyeglasses, half the world by 2050, in just 30 years. So now most eye doctors are doing something, whether it's just counseling the child to play outside. Some doctors prescribe eye drops that try to slow down the vision from worsening. Some doctors try soft contacts. None of these have FDA approval to prevent myopia, but they do have approval to correct it. So that's where we're at. It's slowly, just today, scientists, doctors are taking notice because it's an epidemic. It truly is. It's a shame. Our youngest children are losing their eyesight just because they're not as active as we were when we were kids.
Well, that's an interesting connection. It really is one that I don't think a lot of people would be able to put their finger on. We know about what the inactivity has done regarding childhood obesity. Of course, everybody always knew that fast food wasn't good and it was a problem, but no one realized that the good old-fashioned American three-meal-a-day diet was what it was, and they were cutting back on PE classes with children. And now you've got this giant elephant in the room, which is the phone craze and the screen phase for children. You know, my four-year-old grandson, I mean, really, a younger kid, they love the screens. And who the heck thought about what it's doing to their eyes? So I think this is, pardon my French, you know, I think it's a good eye-opener on the sports doctor, Dr. Nick.
Yes, it is an eye-opener because I don't blame parents. We're busy. But we're also on our devices also. And if you're unaware that these devices hurt our children, it's just a nice break for parents. But
now, but when you're talking outside, you're talking go outside which I think it's news that if you're talking eye health and you're talking natural light, when you think about it, it makes so much sense. But I don't think it's gotten a heck of a lot of play. I think that's really, really a great point, you know, talking about that inclusion and fitting right in to the challenges that we got one after another, where we're talking again about the whole social media on a sports doctor, whether we're talking about the bullying craze with child psychologists, or we're talking about the ostracized or other crazes that are going on with social media. And this is another one that I think parents really, really need to be aware of. How long ago was that? Was that My Children Are Nearsighted Too? Was that your first book?
No, that's my second book. I just published it. The first book I published 2009, My Children Are Nearsighted Too, because I, like any other parent, didn't know what was going on. My children are in second grade and they're wearing glasses, and my wife and I didn't wear glasses until we were older. And that's when I started making the connection with their environment. And I'm telling you, you're right onto something, that the eyes are just a symptom of a much broader problem. Our kids aren't talking to one another. They're not playing outside with one another. And they're becoming...
Well, it ain't safe.
Visually.
You know, one of the big bugaboos, of course, is how safe. You've got latchkey parents. Everybody's working. Nobody's around. Yeah. And this is where we are with all the attention. And I've been talking about it for decades. For the most part, we're treading water. And the importance, again, of the activities. But there's so many different factors. This is why it's so crucial that PE be included in all schools from K to 12, and not be cut out, because again, a lot of these kids are not as active as they used to be anywhere close.
Right.
And many times when they are, it's the other side of what I talk about on the Sports Doctor, which is the overkill and the overuse injuries because of so much pressure at younger ages for competitive sports. Before we run out of time, talk about the importance of eye protection.
That's critical. I mean, when you play sports, sports goggles are so important. I have to tell you how many sports injuries I see on a daily basis. Tennis, you know, sports that you wouldn't think of. But
should they be routine? Should they be routine regardless of the sport?
I really do think so. I see enough sports injuries that are devastating. I don't know why. You know, maybe like you said, it's too much too young, or balls are going faster and faster. We're asking more of our athletes.
Do they make those? Are they prescription also, Dr. Nick?
Of course.
I mean, right? An athlete could get prescription goggles, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Man. I can't. We like flew through the topics here before we run out of time. Dr. Nick, give me again the website, please.
Sure. It's www.icareprofessionals.com.
Icareprofessional.com.
Yep, plural.com.
All right. Hey, Dr. Nick Despotidis, I got the pronunciation right. Hold
you
on, Dr. Nick. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Dr. Nick.
You live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor, and it's the Sports Doctors In segment where we mention who's coming up on the shows. We're also talking about some emails. I was a guest on a great show, Changing the Game, John O'Sullivan and his great book, his whole project, Changing the Game. I'll let everybody know. It'll probably be airing in November. He's part of my network of specialists who really pay attention to all aspects of youth sports, whether it's the people with the National Alliance of Youth Sports, whether it's Ian Goldberg and iSport 360, whether it's from England, working with Parents in Sports and Gordon McClelland, whether it's out there in Boston making the documentary, Youth Sports, the film with Joel Franco. We've got a great team of experts paying such big attention. Next week, speaking of youth sports, the head of strength and conditioning and acceleration here in Naperville, Illinois, Mike Niklos. His brother, J.R. Niklos, was a guest of ours, gosh, like a year or so ago. And then one of fitness's real champions, June Cote, will be joining me with all her different training protocols, fitness. Following week, Sarah Auster, Sound Bath, therapeutic sound, the gongs, the bowls, talking about the exciting area that where she's had 10,000 people in Madison Square Garden being involved taking sound baths. Then Coach Reed Mulby, I should have mentioned him. He's another one of our champions in the world of youth sports. He's a coach of youth coaches. Great stuff coming up. A couple emails. You can email me, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo. Stacy says, my 12-year-old son loves tennis. He's now playing 4 or 5 days a week. He's got problems on and off, complaining about his arches. We've tried some different supports. You're in the right direction, Stacy, but you really got to see podiatry. Pay attention to orthotics. It's a total step up, pardon the pun. It's a custom device that will properly align and position the foot and ankle, take the stress off. The plantar fascia is the arch area that's usually aggravated and involved. Sometimes if we see an over-the-counter arch support is helpful, we could use it, but often it's not that helpful because it's just not prescription. Good news is, if you called me on the phone, you said how successful the proper orthotics with arch problems and tennis players, I would tell you it's always helpful. So you really want to follow through with that. Jerry says, my 15-year-old daughter is an active figure skater. She skates almost every day. She's had problems on and off with her knees. You know, the interesting thing, couple things, Jerry. One is half the figure skaters, the girls I've seen over decades, are knee trouble. A lot of it is foot-related. Young girls with wider hips, a little bit different angle down to the knee. It's also one of the reasons why we still see 5 or 6 to 1 serious ACL ligament injuries, girls to boys, because of the biomechanics and sometimes the hormonal differences. Skating is unique. We raise the center of gravity. We lock that foot in a tight cast-like boot. So the slightest foot imbalance can give us excessive torque and twisting at the knees. Great news is orthotics are always helpful. A lot of times they solve the problem. I tell you to combine the looking at orthotics with physical therapy if you haven't done it already. Strengthening, you really want to combine with proper alignment. You also want to check with the bootmaker, making sure she's in the right boot for her. There's lots of choices. You really want someone who knows what he's talking about. Tom says your book, hashtag #SportsParents, you talk about the two essential exercises. Yes, I do, Tom. Strengthen your feet and ankles. Rubber bands is a great way to do it. Full range of motion, proactively, whatever your sport is, whatever your age or level, include strengthening your feet and ankles and include balance exercises. That's the second exercise form. Balancing on tilt boards, standing on unstable surfaces like a Bosu ball, the sand dune stepper, different sponge pads can be very aggressive. It strengthens your core, your back, your hips, your butt, your feet. So you want to be able to pay attention. Whatever other exercises you're doing, you want to include foot-ankle strengthening. If you need some education, see the athletic trainer. Go to one of the physical therapy groups. They'd be glad to show you how to work with rubber bands and how to work balance. Denise says, my bunions hurt with jogging. Is it a surgical problem? Not necessarily, Denise. You might see a chew change could help. You might see orthotics. I've been using them for years, which can really make a big difference, especially if you're an athlete. You're not looking to jump into surgery. I definitely would try orthotics first. And unless it's very aggressive, they can be very helpful. There are three reasons people have bunion surgery. One is they hurt. The enlarged big toe joint, the dislocation of that toe, often it's symptomatic and it hurts. That's the number one reason. Number two is shoes. Can't wear shoes. Can't wear any dress shoes. Way down the list, number three is cosmetics. So don't jump into surgery. Get another opinion. Look at orthotics. Robert says, are you a fan of chiropractic for athletes? Yes, I am. I've had so many chiropractic physicians, Bob, on the sports doctor. They're a key part. I don't know a serious athlete who doesn't involve themselves with chiropractic medicine. So you're really a hands-on, proactive therapy. You don't need to be hurting, even though over the years it was, you know, hey, I need an adjustment. Someone's cracking my back. Getting the body in its proper position, working those soft tissues, including exercise. You really want to include chiropractic medicine. See if I have enough time here, Steve. What about your chapter, Prodigy Sports? I named it because of the certain types of sports where a child, like an artist or a musician, this is all they want to do. Figure skating is a great example, so is gymnastics, tennis and soccer, ballet. That boy or girl, tell them all day, we want you to play other sports. We want you to develop and use other parts of the body. That's what we want you to do. Oh, you don't want to do it. You insist on being a gymnast 6 days a week. You love dance 6 days a week. Okay. Then we really want to include physical therapy, personal trainer. We want an expert to work with your son or daughter on a really good program to try to stay out of trouble. The problem is repetitive motion injuries, doing the same thing all the time. I've had great success. My favorite prodigy sports are the figure skaters. You know, my poster boy, Evan Lysacek, he was 10 years old. He grew up in Naperville, Illinois, when I put orthotics in his skates. 13 years later, he was the gold medalist, the world champion gold medalist in figure skating. I still put orthotics in 10-year-old skates. And many of these kids, it's all they want to do, and we really want them to try to have the kind of a program. Yes, I would rather a young boy or girl play other sports. Yes, yes, yes. I think, ironically, it's sometimes the best way to play that serious sport at a higher level. 80% of the women in the World Cup champion soccer team played other sports. So think about it. Thanks, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago through Australia. Catch you next week. Thanks.